Lovely cushion header. Pajero!
Hello, Internet. It is episode 78 of the LFC Podcasting Couch. Apologies for taking a bit of a break. There was a small trip to Australia for the Liverpool team, which put me out of action for a bit. And then I managed to catch a flu, which was pretty much generated from space or some kind of alien, which destroyed my soul. It was man flu times 10. But I'm just about over it come Sunday, 9 a.m. now in Australia time. So I gave my friend Ryan a buzz because he's basically been following us from the very, very start, I think. Anyway, I'll just introduce him. Ryan, you there, mate?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Excellent, excellent. So Ryan is Ryan Chuckles. Is that your name on Twitter? I keep forgetting. Yeah, Ryan Chuckles, yeah. OD. Yep. So from the very earliest kind of days, he just randomly started messaging, I listened to your pod or something like that. And I was like, hey, hey. And I've never really reached out and gone, do you want to be on the pod? And I think I only did that like last week, didn't I? I can't remember. Yeah. Apologies for that.
I thought I was special at the beginning. I think I was like one of the first 200 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And then like, I thought I was like special. I was like, oh yeah, you know, he'll have a big ego. He's got an Irishman now as well. And then I was like, oh, he's got a load of Irish people as well.
Shit. They're all taking over. Yeah, the Irish, they love the podcast. You. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, man.
It's all clean in here. All we have to do is watch podcasts.
It's kind of what I was like when I grew up in New Zealand. It's like, what do we do here? Oh, we just play rugby, and that's pretty much it.
And fight orcs. And yeah.
Drink. It's amazing. But before we jump straight into the pod, I do want to just do a quick thing. There has been a London Bridge attack, and without going into any speculation, just want to hope that the people affected and the families, they will find a way to get through it. We'll work out what's officially gone on later, but I don't want to speculate for now and not cause any more fume. But to those people, London Bridge, another attack, just wish you all the best. That's all I can really do from this part of the world, and hope that the city around you comes together and helps you out too. We'll leave that behind for now because we want to not doom and gloom into this, but let's jump in, Ryan. We've just seen Real Madrid win another Champions League. How desperate do you want to be for Liverpool to get back up there?
I'm absolutely just desperate to get back to it now. Like I said at the start of the season, top four, it was my aim. We had the little romance of the title challenge by around November, but top four was always my aim. I know I'm going to get a bit of a slack for it for saying, but I'm still happy with even just getting fourth, because that is the foundation we need to start building upon. And this summer is absolutely crucial that we build upon that and make it that from maybe not next season, but the season after. Champions League qualification is no longer a question for Liverpool. It's the norm again, because that's what we need to get back to.
Yeah, for sure. It's got to be one of those ones where we've got an opportunity now to actually properly build a team where we're not losing. We knew when we got that second place, we knew we were going to lose Suarez. And it was about how we're going to actually build upon that loss and get the right players in. Now it seems like we're not really, I don't think we're going to lose anyone major. So then let's try and consolidate what we have and bridge that gap between our first team and our reserves and our bench, and actually have a strong team that can compete and be sustainable, continuously competing year on year. Is that what you think is going to happen?
Yep. Exactly, yeah. Like when we lost Suarez, we knew it was going to happen. We almost lost him the season before for, what was it, the 40 million and one. But like there's a romance between South American players and Real Madrid, Barcelona. They're the big team down there, because, you know, majority same language, same style of football in essence, you could say. So it's always going to be a hard prospect to turn down, going to Real Madrid or Barcelona for a South American player. That's why we have such fear about Coutinho and Firmino. But everything looks like we'll be keeping Coutinho, and Klopp's there to hopefully help us keep Coutinho. And if anyone's going to make Coutinho feel 6 foot tall or 12 foot tall, it's going to be Klopp. Like, next season, I wouldn't be surprised to see Klopp piggybacking him onto the pitch, just building that team around him, because that's what we need to do.
Oh, for sure.
Moving Coutinho into the middle of the pitch, that was, it's been a long time coming, and he was only out wide last season on necessity, I think. But it's going to be really interesting to see how he does with a long, protracted period there.
Yeah, there was an interesting... Yeah, sorry, you go.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I do remember one of the Brazil, you know, games where he went off to Brazil, you know, one of the international breaks. They actually asked him in Brazil, what's your favorite position? And he goes, my favorite position is actually the left wing, where I am right now. And it's weird because he seems so much more comfortable in the middle. But there you go. Maybe that was just a point in time when they were scoring for fun. And he's changed.
Well, you know, out in the wing, you get a lot more freedom. You only have maybe 2-3 people marking you. In the center, you could have nearly 6. Against the Mourinho team, you have 10.
True.
So I think he just likes the freedom a bit more. But in the center, he could grow to love it, and hopefully he does. And hopefully he sees that's where he wants to be for the next 6, 7, 8, 9 years under Klopp.
Yeah, hopefully.
If not, at least under Stevie.
And get more people that are on his wavelength as well. That's the thing that's frustrated me the most. It's just, you know, Milner and Coutinho just don't really combine because they're on very different wavelengths. Origi definitely does not combine with anybody anyway, so he's just on a completely different wavelength to Klopp, it seems, which is weird. But
yeah.
But you know what, when they had the likes of Sturridge around, Firmino around, when they're close to Coutinho, they seem to instinctively know what they're going to do, what they're going to do next, when to do a back heel, blah blah blah. So more people around Coutinho like that would be great.
Yeah, spot on. Like, as you know, I was at that Liverpool-West Ham game. I was sitting in the Bobby Robson stand. So that Sturridge goal was... Yeah, that Sturridge goal was right in front of me. I think I was just up on the second tier, so I got to see it lovely and clear. But you could see that Sturridge had already made that run before Coutinho even looked up. He just knew.
Yeah.
So that's just... We need that. We need more people on the wavelengths. And hopefully we see it a lot more next season. And hopefully I get to Anfield more next season so I can actually celebrate instead of having to do a cheeky fist bump surrounded by a lot of West Ham fans.
Yay! not celebrating. But that we'll go into transfers anyway, just because everyone's probably here trying to find transfer news, and we'll do some anyway. It's the hot topic, of course. It is that part of the year. So the latest rumor this morning, of course, is a good friend, Virgil van Dijk, being... Well, the Mirror is the only one who reported it, and we all know how the Mirror are, but it sent Twitter into meltdown again. So they're getting their clickbait. They're basically saying that he's going to go to City, and it's been agreed for 60 million with 200k a week for 5 years, effectively making him the most expensive and best paid defender in the world.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, for me, it's along the lines of, I don't care what we pay for a player to bring him in. It's not coming out of my own personal pocket. So if we signed him for 60 million and paid him 200k, I'd probably be pissed off for about 5 minutes, and then I'll watch him play and watch him win us games and we'll be happy. But on the flip side, I'm also thinking, well, Klopp brought in Matip for free, Wijnaldum and Mane. All three of them could have very easily failed in Liverpool, but instead they did the complete opposite and probably became our three most important players throughout the season.
Now, exactly.
With one of them missing from the team, it changed the team dramatically. So I'm in that mold of, if we miss out on Virgil, I'm already being a bit philosophical and thinking, who gives a crap? Because if we get Koulibaly or whoever else that Klopp's apparently interested in, I think they'll do the business. Simple as that. I'm not actually that concerned if we miss out on Van Dijk.
Yeah, like, as you know yourself, you made that little ITK guide there the other night. So I've been slowly just starting to follow a lot of little ITKs and just watching all the rumors coming in and then watching them all get deleted as they get slowly proven wrong. So I was like, I've seen an Irish guy there last night. He lives like 20 minutes away from me.
Oh, God.
saying like Lacazette's being confirmed at this time, Salah's being confirmed at this time, Marco Reus for 85 million being confirmed at this time. And I just sent him one of like, you know, Reus is extra next 6 months, just tweet deleted. Just, what are you on about me? That's, I said so nothing bad about Reus. But like, so far Klopp's history in the transfer market with us is, it's 90% good. I'd say Karius would be the hit and miss one of the one season so far. Like, I was absolutely flabbergasted we got Matip on a free. Wijnaldum I wasn't happy about, but he shut me up very quickly. Mane, again, another player I wasn't too happy about, but now I'm getting his name on the back of this season jersey. So
it's crazy, isn't it?
Like, that's what Klopp said, doubters to believers, and at this point that he could, you know, spend fucking 120 million on a 2-year-old and I'd go with it.
One for the future. God damn. And it's absolutely weird like that, what he's been able to do to our fan base. We're still going to be very pessimistic. It's simple as that. We're going to be pessimistic throughout the entire transfer window. I'm not going to run off and blame FSG for everything because I'm just not mental. I'm just more a case of, you know, maybe Klopp. Well, Klopp has already said quite a few times, such as, was he around when we tried to go after that guy from Shakhtar and then he went off to China? What's that guy's name again? Yeah, Brazilian?
Alan Teixeira.
Yeah, Teixeira. So yeah. Teixeira also didn't, you know, score for his first, like, 16. Oh, he scored 2 goals for his first 16 games. I think he's picked it up now. But at the same time, Klopp was the one who said, no, that's the value. That's what I see him as. I'm not going to pay 35, 40 million for that guy. And we didn't. Yeah. Simple as that. I totally and utterly trust him. I don't know why. Well, actually, I do know why, because I got to meet him, which was amazing. but it's exactly the same as what people have written about him, the reporters and everyone who says about him. He is exactly the same in person as he is on camera. There is no bullshit. There's no PR. He's not anyone's puppet, any of that crap. He will tell you straight to your face, this is exactly how I think, and there's nothing else about it. And so when he says on record, no, that was my decision, that's the value I have, blah, 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 I will believe him. And when he says, Matip, whoever is the best defender that I can think of, he was amazing, I faced him a lot of times, he will do wonderful things for us. I didn't believe him, and now I do. So if he does pick up another completely random nobody and says he will be our first team player and he will take us to the future or whatever, again, I'm going to believe him. If it is Van Dijk, if it isn't, I don't know. I just think it's going to be fine.
Well, I've seen like the other names linked to us, like Koulibaly, Steven De Vries, Jonathan Tah, and Michael Keane. Like, there are plenty of solid centre-back options out there that will improve us. Van Dijk is just the most prevalent one. He's the most famous one in England, so that's the one everyone's focusing on. So, like, if we don't sign him, don't get me wrong, I'll be very upset. But if we do sign him, I'll be absolutely ecstatic.
Totally.
But, I trust Klopp, so whoever he goes for, he has my 100% support. But as you were saying, like, FSG is the owners are getting a lot of slack. I won't go into my thoughts on that because you know them and I don't want to start a fight now.
It's a bit frustrating, isn't it? On that point, I did actually put out a poll, which has already got 100 votes, which is nice, in about an hour. I did say, okay, so two completely different positions, I know, but which would you prefer Liverpool to do? One is spend 60 million on Van Dijk, or two, spend 60 million on Lacazette. So essentially it's solidify defense or get more goals. Which would you pick?
I think both go hand in hand. Like, if you have someone up top who's putting away all the chances we create, it's going to keep the ball away from our defense a lot more. But then if you have someone more, if you have another solid defense, we won't be going mental and getting scared every 20 seconds when there's a counter-attack or a corner or a free kick from the halfway line. Or,
so you can only choose one, so which one would you choose?
Well, seems how Rafa Benitez was in charge during my formative years of Liverpool, I'm going to have to go defence.
Fair enough. That's what 58% have voted so far out of 100 votes. So 58% are saying Van Dijk, 42% Lacazette. It's quite interesting, actually, when you see that, because you'd think Lacazette is that pure marquee signing, you know, world-class striker-type signing. But it actually kind of, in a way, shows the intelligence of Liverpool fans at this point, which is odd to say sometimes on Twitter, when they're saying, no, actually, I'd prefer to have a marquee defender, and that would be the way to go. So,
You see, Lacazette's the romantic signing, but the smart signing, well, for me personally, I think would be Van Dijk. So you have, like, you know, your heart and your head. Who would you go with? So I'd go with my head and I'd go Van Dijk, because we need that solid base, because we've lacked that since Rafa left. need to get that fixed.
Cool. Well, sorry, Gary.
No, it's just ridiculous. We need to get that fixed ASAP.
Yeah, definitely. Now, another story I've been talking with people about on Twitter is around the other signings, such as Salah, Keita, all those kind of people. And the thing that comes up is, oh, yeah, I can see Salah coming in, but, you know, if we have, you know, Coutinho, Firmino, Mane tearing teams apart again when all three of them are fit and firing, I don't see where Salah comes in. And when I thought about this a bit more, it came back to what I kind of touched upon at the start of this episode, talking about how we're bridging that gap between attack and our first elite team, our proper team, and our bench/reserves. When you look at the other squads and you see the likes of Chelsea, who won the title comfortably, and they're able to bring on Willian or Pedro onto that right wing, or they're able to bring on Fabregas or these quite expensive players, very, very, very talented players, and where they're generally bringing on Origi or Lucas Leiva or Moreno, and we're just there going, ugh, you know, are they really going to be game changers? I think that's really has to be the prime focus. So it's along the lines of like the West Brom game where we had Coutinho and Firmino on the bench because they weren't so well, they weren't 100%. But then we were able to bring them on at halftime because things weren't working, and lo and behold, they score a goal and we win the game. So being able to do that, you know, can you imagine a defense that's just been torn apart by Mane for, you know, 65, 70 minutes, and then Klopp goes, all right, let's bring off Mane, and he will bring him off on an actual time because he can trust the bench for the first time.
Yeah.
He brings off Mane and brings on Salah at the right wing. You know, can you imagine being a defender and just going, oh, for crying out loud, you know, this is too much. So I don't think it's a case of replacing anyone in the first team. It's more of a case of maybe, lo and behold, you did mention Rafa, but going back to the old Rafa rotation system where we're able to without losing too much quality in our first team. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I think football is becoming more of a case of it's no longer a first 11, it's a first 18. You need to be able to have that solid 18 players, and then you can have a mix of youngsters, a mix of elder statesmen, but you need to be able to have your solid 18. So at least you can make those changes, you can trust your bench. It's like don't get me wrong, I gave a lot of grief to Klopp as well for his substitutions, but as you said, I started thinking about it more myself. Like, you had Ben Woodburn, you had Grujic towards the latter part of the season, you had Trent Alexander-Arnold, all talented players, but none of them were match winners or game changers or anything like that. We needed wiser heads. We needed more well-rounded talent. Because don't get me wrong, they have raw talent in abundance, but it needs to be fine-tuned still before they can be saying that they are going to absolutely destroy the league. Because I can see Woodburn and Trent having absolutely fantastic careers in the Premier League. But still, they're still young. They still need to be moulded.
Yeah, so definitely. And to be put into a reliable, not reliable, but a position or given a role of proper responsibility at that age isn't going to win us a title, sadly. And I hate to use Chelsea as a benchmark, but they had Salah, they had Cuadrado, they had these players, and they didn't work out for 10 games or whatever it was. And they said, all right, we'll send you on loan. You know, that's kind of part of my throat. That's the kind of level of scrutiny we should be giving each player. They say, we know you're world class. We know you're not, maybe not at that point world class, but we know you're a very, very, very good footballer. But maybe your culture or your ability to fit in with this team isn't so good right now. Why don't you disappear for a year or two and come back as a much better player? I think we need to be able to do that.
Well, like, look at them with Kevin De Bruyne. Like, everyone's complaining that we're signing another Chelsea reject in Mohamed Salah. But look at De Bruyne. He was a Chelsea reject. And now he's, for my money, he's probably the best attacking midfielder, aside from Phil, in the league. And I can see De Bruyne walking into absolutely any team in the world, and he's a Chelsea reject. So just having that tag on you doesn't mean much. Like, Chelsea are in the position now where they have such a strong squad that, as you said, they can just sell people if they don't do well over the first 10 games. Like, I'm not saying we should go to that extreme, but we need to be able to say, okay, you haven't done well for your first 5 games, they're sitting on the bench, we have someone who can do your job just as well, or maybe a slight drop, but not a massive drop.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. In regards as well to that exact point, you know, Sturridge is a Chelsea reject, and if he didn't have he didn't have injuries, he would be still renowned as one of the best strikers in the world without a problem. So it's just super frustrating. So
he's performed at such a high level for so long now, even when he has been fit, that I completely forgot he was considered a Chelsea reject at one point. So it just kind of caught me off guard with that one there.
It's weird, isn't it? You think back of where these people come from, you're like, oh shit, there you go. So, Chelsea reject.
I still remember seeing him making his debut at Man City.
Yeah. Matt is a Chelsea reject, and he's still going pretty strong for Man United.
Exactly, it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not fussed to where they come from, to be honest.
I don't, same myself. I really couldn't give a shite as long as they do the job and they perform to the standard we need. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm usually the pragmatic one. I can't see myself spending 60 million on a defender. But at this point, we just need a statement signing for the entire fan base to rally around. And I feel so bad for Dominic Solanke because he was the first one officially announced, and like, the kid has talent, but because he was the first one in such a big season, yeah, where he's getting a lot of stick, where really there should be not optimism but hope for him. So
yeah, we'll see what happens with him. Like, I'm not convinced about Dom because he's much more of a lumbering player. he's definitely got some skills on him, but I have watched him actually a fair bit when he was under 21s and then became under 23s, played against us. And he does score goals regularly, but he relies very, very heavily on supply. So, yeah, our team is a bit different to that.
Yeah, definitely. But, like, don't forget, like, I probably divide a bit of opinion as well. Don't forget, Klopp got great success at Lucas Barrios. And he's not a player I highly rated myself. Like, my uncle absolutely adored him. I saw him as like a discount drop in a way. But like, don't get me wrong, he had his qualities, but they weren't what Klopp became known for. So I think Klopp, if he can develop Solanke, he has a weapon there. Well, a potential weapon. If not, he has a striker for the bench.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think? What do you think? I was going to ask about Origi. What do you think we should do with Origi?
That is a question I've actually been tackling with a lot of people on Twitter myself. Like, some people are saying, loan out Origi, which, again, great idea. Or some people are saying loan out Ings, which I would lean more towards, simply because Danny's been out now for the guts of near 2 years with an injury, and that is a lot of sharpness to shake off. So I could see him going to the championship maybe on loan. I know I don't really like sending a player of his expectation down a league, but he needs to shake off that rust, and possibly when he comes back, the championship will be, well, high-end championship will be his level, or we could just ship him off to Huddersfield.
Yeah, what would you prefer? Ward going to Huddersfield or Ings going to Huddersfield?
Danny Ward, definitely. I would much prefer him because he knows the club now at this point. He's comfortable at the club and he knows Wagner. Or Wagner, whatever way you want to pronounce it.
It's all good.
Yeah, sorry, just as soon as I said Wagner, is getting weird flashbacks of the UK X Factor and don't want to be remembering that. But no, Danny Ward going to Huddersfield would be the best choice. And I could see Ings going to maybe Middlesbrough. Maybe Sunderland. I think one of them would be actually a very good place for him to go. Because Sunderland have absolutely outstanding facilities. I remember I went on a tour of them there a couple of years ago. Absolutely fantastic. So he'd be in good hands where he goes there. And don't forget as well, Middlesbrough known as a hotbed of developing English talent during the 2000s and a little bit in the 90s. So
definitely,
it might be a bit of a match made in heaven.
Has Moise, has he left Sunderland? I thought he did, didn't he?
He resigned.
That's a good idea then. Have a fresh start. Moise?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, Sunderland. Keep him as far away as possible.
Yeah, it's good. And Sunderland's not too far away as well. So, just drive down for those games and stuff. That'd be good. I'd want him to go there. I just hope he doesn't get rushed into games. That's the only problem. So, hey, you're our lone striker. Start the first game of the season. And then play 2 days later, then play 2 days later, then play 2 days later, because it's just so many games in championships.
Especially after ACL injuries, they're not the easiest thing to get over.
Yeah,
it's like
one myself as well. So
that's just it. Like you can see people still recovering from an ACL injury after 5 years. Danny Ings will be recovering from two years. So
bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got an ACL tear. I had one in my left knee. I had that fully reconstructed with the hamstring. And then I've apparently torn the one in my right knee. And I'm just like, screw it. It's finally. It's like, I'm still playing football as well. Well, when I can, I've got all kinds of injuries.
You just like, you can play Sunday league. You just can't turn out for Liverpool anymore.
Damn it. I know. I've had to apologize to Klopp many times. So I couldn't come to training. It's like, we need you. The situation's not good.
I've done the same myself. Like when I was younger, I used to play rugby, but then a scrum collapsed on my knee.
So Jesus Christ. Rugby.
Yeah.
Yeah, screw that.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie The Blind Side?
No, I actually have it, though. I mean to get a look at it.
It is a good movie, but yeah, at the very start might make you puke a little bit because it's all about... Yeah, anyway, just watch it.
Oh, well, don't worry. I've managed to sit through a Serbian film without screaming. Oh, so,
woo, the life and times. We'll do a TV pod maybe sometime as well, just to get into it. But this is going to be a small pod because I'm still quite sick and I'm drinking water furiously over here to try and keep the throat lubricated so you can hear the dulcet tones. But do you have any shout outs or anyone you want to mention in particular or any things that you want to say to the world of the internet?
The only thing I have to say at the minute is to the Liverpool fan base, we're going to hear so, 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 so much over the next few days from people who are saying they're in the know, people who are saying they have sources in the club, from people that are saying this, that, and the other. Don't forget, it was only last season that it was very highly publicised. Staff within Liverpool were signing non-disclosure agreements. If there is a source within the club, think to yourself, would you risk your job for 5 minutes of internet fame? So please do not let the hysteria get to you, because we're a very vocal fan base and we do not need the hysteria added on where we do not need to get it from. So just relax, take it easy. What happens will happen. And you'll never walk alone.
Awesome, mate. Now, Ryan, really appreciate you coming on the pod. We'll have you on a much longer episode later on when I'm fully recovered. So, yeah, really appreciate having you on here, dude.
No, but I was like, just timed out perfectly as well. My girlfriend's just after getting up out of bed.
Happy days.
18 minutes past after midnight.
Nice one, man. All right, Ryan, you have a very good night. Try and get some sleep. And, walk on.
No, but thanks a lot for having me on.
All right, see you, buddy. Bye.
See you. Lovely cushion header. Pajero! Oh, you beauty!